Good morning, saints, snitches, and the rest of y'all still lying in the group chat. Welcome to Morning Tea and Allegations, where the devil gets no mic and the truth gets the final say. Just a good time. Hey, hey.
Good morning to you. Yes, indeed. Welcome to season 4 of Morning Tea and Allegations. And oh my goodness. Okay.
Oh my
gosh. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We got some things to talk about here. And I am just tuning in to the chat. And I see y'all on the chat, y'all live with me, and I appreciate that. Yes, indeed. I'm here with my teddy bear Snuggie, y'all, and I want to be very comfortable when I do this broadcast moving forward, because there's a lot of things that are going on in education and politics, and I am unapologetically showing up. So I'm glad that you're here. We got some things to discuss, okay? All right. So let's go ahead and get started with our church announcements. Amen. So let me go ahead and get all of this queued up for you, because I need y'all to know what is going on. Okay, so for the church announcements, we're going to get started with the Sunshine Education Coalition. The Sunshine Education Coalition is kicking off the series for the Parent Code workshops. Their next workshop is August the 27th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic of this workshop is Discipline Policies 101. This is an opportunity to learn how school discipline works, your rights, and how to support your child through the process. So there is a flyer that is posted on Teaching for the Culture, and I will also uplift that in the chat when I'm done with this broadcast so that you can be intentional about their next session that is on August 27th at 6:30 p.m. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to move to check the cell phone. Now, I want y'all to go on this adventure with me. Okay. I am going to pretend to be a 13-year-old child using Roblox for the first time. I'll be documenting this journey of creating a profile and exploring the platform. We're going to be talking about Roblox later in the program and why it's important for parents and caregivers to be aware of what our children have access to. Okay. All right. So the next thing here on the docket here is Canva. Okay. Canva has been such an amazing tool. Okay. for me creating these graphics, me creating this program. And so I just want to uplift that Canva has been a partner in this for me, being able to create this programming and all of that good stuff. So I have my partner link that you can go to. I'll put the link in the chat so that you can get 14 days free. If you are a K-12 educator, make sure that you're getting this platform for free, okay? Please make sure that you are using this because it is such a valuable resource. And I will be offering classes and workshops on how I use Canva and teaching you how to do it too. So join me on the mailing list on my website. And again, I'll put all the links in the chat so that you can catch up. And the last thing on the church announcement, as I was preparing for the show, I had sent a message to my equalizers and Patreon, and I was giving them a review of the topics that are on the docket and an opportunity to be behind the scenes as I've been working on this. And so whenever I go live after and before, Patreon is going to be the place that I'm in. So I will make sure that I post a link there so that you can have access to it. And so that concludes our church announcements. Amen. Amen. Woo, chow. Well, we got a lot of things on the docket. Let me just drink my tea. Ooh, chow. Well, okay. So the last time that I did Morning Tea and Allegations, it was published on February the 24th, 2024. February 24th, 2024. So I did the math because I was really, really intrigued. And that is a total of 529 days. Oh my God. That's wild. There's been so much that has been going on to where going back on live and having my programming just seemed impossible, but I am here. I am live. I am in my full power. I'm in my Snuggie. I am protected. I have my mic, and there is so much that we need to discuss and talk about and hold people accountable, because people I receive don't. Okay? Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the receipts. I've been telling y'all that I am a certified snitch. I am a whistleblower, and I am unapologetically showing up the way that I am. And so if you have a problem with that, I don't know what else to tell you. Take it up with God. But we have some things that we need to discuss. Okay. So back to school, social media safety tips. We need to talk about that because school is back in session for some people and school is getting ready to start for some people. And folks need to be reminded because there's a lot of stuff going on around here. So if you're going to be posting pictures of your children celebrating the first day of school, please be mindful that you need to blur out or crop personal details. You need to skip street signs and house numbers and showing the front of your house. You need to be very cautious with the first day boards, which are really, really cute. I like them. However, you put in the teacher's name, you put in their name, you're putting their subject, you're putting, you know, personal information about them that can be used. And I don't know if you've seen my power walk or not. I hope you go back and check out that podcast. But I posted a video of where a parent allegedly came up to the school to try to take a child that didn't belong to them. And they were trying to pretend to be that child's parent. And if it wasn't for the child to advocate and say, no, no one told me that someone else was picking me up. The parent says that she doesn't know if her child will still be alive or still be here. That is the reality. And we're seeing more and more cases of people pulling up to schools trying to take children in broad daylight, and they're using information that they can see on the internet and online in order to do that. So please check for the backgrounds and hidden cues, because it's a lot that's going on around here. So I just want to make sure that our kids are safe out here in these digital streets. And while it is very important that you highlight your baby and you're proud of them for going to school or transitioning to the next grade, also please keep them safe, because it is a lot going on. Okay. Okay. Moving on. We have some social media bans that are taking impact, particularly in the state of Florida. There are over 16 states that have some type of phone ban, right? But in the state of Florida, I want to be very intentional, because that's where a lot of my work is. So elementary and middle school, they are prohibited from using devices during the school day. This includes cell phones, smartwatches, earbuds, tablets, laptops, and headphones. Let me give you some examples. So your child should not be walking around in the hallway with AirPods listening to music. Your child should not have Beats headphones walking around listening to music. You should not be communicating and texting with your child with the expectation that they're going to communicate back with you during the school day. And you need to be mindful of what access your child has during the school day and who is talking to them, because it is prohibited by law for them to communicate with folks during school time. Okay, so elementary and middle, completely prohibited. Okay. And that again goes to the smartwatches. Okay. So these smartwatches and tablets and laptops, and even the smartwatches, folks had questions about having the smartwatches. And in high school, it is procedures that are developed by each site. So you would need to reach out to your high school to see what is their policy on the phone, and so that you can be prepared for what you're walking into. Okay. So that was a lot. Let me sip some tea here with this. Now there's another social media bill, which I talked about that in season 3 of Morning Tea and Allegations, and it's House Bill 3. And I just have a question. I would love for y'all to put the answers in the chat if you are watching live, or if you're in the replay ministry and you're watching the replay. I just want to know if you know children under the age of 14 that are on social media in Florida. Yes or no? Let me know. Because there is a law that prohibits that, but we are seeing that there are still children under the age of 14 that are still on social media, that are still using these platforms that are supposed to be banned, that is not allowed for them to do. But I go back to politics, and I go back to performative policy, and I go back to, we need to make sure that our legislators are really putting the right words on the paper if we're going to try to enforce something. And the conversation about social media and about safety is right up my alley. I've been talking about this for quite some time. There are several articles that are published about this work that I'm so passionate about. But we need to be very intentional, because there are a lot of things that are happening. Again, I'm going to show you something about Roblox. There's a lot of things that are happening on these different platforms, and we need to be intentional with it. So the question is, are children under the age of 14 still on these platforms? from my experience, the answer is yes. But I do want to know from y'all, what have you been seeing out here, particularly as we're talking about these laws? Now, I got to migrate over to Hillsborough for a moment, because the conversation about teacher pay. And let me just take a moment here. If you haven't been advocating for education and really focusing on the educators,
shut up!
If you don't have any experience working in the classroom and know the conditions of what it's like,
shut up!
If you are not intentional with the process of education, and you just want to just say things just to say it, please,
shut up,
because it's not helpful. Okay? So teacher pay, I don't know if you know, but the state of Florida is ranked 50th in the nation. 50. And there have been a lot of propaganda that has been published about these teacher raises. We're going to talk about it. So let me share my screen, because I actually want to share this receipt with you, because I need y'all to see this letter here that was written by the education commissioner. So this is what he say. So he sends a letter out and basically says that the local unions are delaying increases and that they're playing politics. And he is saying this on social media, on Twitter. And I'm just sitting here like, the state of Florida ranks 50th in the nation. And you have the audacity to send this memorandum to all district teachers to say that the local unions are playing politics. What? But here's the Tito. So on the right side, right, of the tweet, there's somebody that commented under the new education commissioner's post. Okay. And, I need y'all to pay attention to who this person is that is commenting under this, because they were a previous school board member of Hillsborough County Public Schools.
Oh, hell no!
So I'm going to put the receipt at Patreon. Y'all can guess in the comments who this person is, but I just found it funny that this person, out of all people, is on this platform, X, responding to this education commissioner about paying teachers, and they were serving on the Hillsborough County School Board, where there were so many deficits going on that we couldn't pay our teachers, and we still can't pay them now. Huh? And y'all want to play games on the internet. And I just don't understand. Who's going to jail? Who's going to be held accountable? That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know. And I've been getting messages, y'all. Literally messages of like, Bianca, did you see this? Did you see this? Okay. Now, I do have a question, though, on the side note, speaking of teacher pay. So the educator that got caught up with that DUI and that cocaine, is he still getting paid while he's on leave? I'll have to do a public records request, because I have some questions about how they pick and choose who to put on leave and who to pay when they on leave. There's a lot of discrepancies with that. And I just have questions. So let's go ahead and move forward, shall we? Because that was a lot. That was a lot. So Governor Ron DeSantis said that Florida is ranking number one in school choice with 1.4 million students exercising the option and homeschooling enrollment increased by 60%. I just want to say that again so that I can make sure that y'all hear what I'm saying. So our governor, Florida's governor, Governor Ron DeSantis, Ron Dion DeSantis, said that Florida is ranking number one in school choice and that homeschool enrollment has increased by 60%. I just want to uplift that there are financial implications of this, y'all. There are financial implications of this very thing. Families for Strong Public Schools is hosting a virtual event that I think you should attend. The event is called Charter School Reckoning, Unmasking the Impact on Public Education. It is on Thursday, August 26th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm going to post the link in the chat so that you can sign up and register for this event, because it is something to just see the numbers of the financial impact that is happening with the legislation that is allowing all of these different options while underfunding public schools. And I am thankful that we have options. However, we cannot underfund public schools in the process of that. And we cannot have regulation that is not equally yoked with other school options. For example, just getting public records, for example, the red tape and the obstacles to get records for charter schools is completely different than getting records for public schools. Why is that? It even goes down to contracts, contracting, construction, you name it. There is a policy where it makes it easier for charter schools to get things done than public schools. It's wild and something to investigate. So I'm just going to continue to uplift that Families for Strong Public Schools is hosting a virtual event that I really think that you should attend. And the event is on Thursday, August 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Amen. Okay, so I want to play a clip from Aaron with Fox 13, because there are some headlines about these teacher raises. And if you ask the educators, they will say where. So let's roll the clip.
We knew at 6, Hillsborough County teachers are back in the classroom as they prepare for the first day of school. And they're also getting ready to see a bump in their paychecks, thanks to voters who approved a property tax increase so that teachers can get paid more. Fox 13's Aaron Mesmer is in our newsroom tonight. So, Aaron, when will school employees actually start seeing that extra money?
Allie, we're told that pay increase will be reflected right away in their first paycheck of the school year. And as you can imagine, teachers are looking forward to it.
What else? These are all games.
It's a new classroom for Libby Carter.
They like those.
And soon she'll have a new group of students at Ballast Point Elementary School in Tampa.
We're in the thick of it. We're setting things up. We're very excited. We have a lot to do before the students come back.
That's not all that's new for Hillsborough County teachers. Their paychecks are going up, too.
It means that I'll be able to kind of have some more wiggle room and be able to afford living.
In November, Hillsborough voters passed a property tax increase to give teachers a raise. On average, Florida teachers make about $53,000 a year. That'll go up $6,000 for Hillsborough educators and $3,000 for support staff. The bump in pay will start immediately.
I think that's a big testament to the community involvement and how much they appreciate and respect our teachers.
At the same time, property owners are about to see how much that millage increase will impact their taxes.
So they should be expecting in their mailbox their notice of proposed taxes.
Hillsborough property appraiser Bob Enriquez says those assessments, known as truth in millage or trim notices, will go out August 18th. Homeowners will pay an extra dollar for every $1,000 of assessed home value.
On average, it'll be about $250 based on the based on the median home price.
Enriquez says homeowners can ask for a reassessment if they don't agree with the notice.
And especially in a year like this where we've had so many people that had damage as a result of the storms, we may not know that as of January 1st, 2025, they still had damage, they hadn't addressed it, and those kinds of things. We need to know so we can try to address it and adjust the value as such.
I love working with her.
Meanwhile, teachers say the added revenue for the district will go a long way.
There are a lot of expenses. There's a lot of food expenses, and there's expenses for living and things like that. So it's definitely helpful, and I definitely will be very happy to have it.
And they deserve it, too. Again, those trim notices will go out mid-August. Homeowners will have 25 days to ask for a reassessment, meaning they have until September 12th to do so. Reporting in the newsroom, Aaron Mesmer, Fox 13 News.
Okay. So the headline is very misleading because our educators in Hillsborough County Public Schools did not, let me repeat, they did not receive a raise. They received a supplement which will have to be voted on in 4 years. One educator commented on that video on YouTube, and I'm going to post a link so that you could see the source link of what I just shared with you. And the educator said that with the supplemental increase, that he will receive roughly $7 and 36 cents extra a month. I've been on this platform talking about teacher pay, talking about how the district has been misleading the community as it relates to their fiscal responsibility and oversight, and how our teachers and our support professionals get the short end of the stick. And yet again, we have headlines that they are receiving raises, and that is not true. That is not factual. And it is so sad because I know that there are some educators that are literally stuck in a payment loan loop where they have to get a payday loan to make it to the next payday, and it's hard for them to get out. There are educators that are selling plasma in order to make additional money. You have educators that are Ubering or DoorDashing or doing shifts with Amazon just to make ends meet. You have bus drivers and custodial workers and the support professionals that are barely getting by. Meanwhile, the price of everything is going up, and mentioning that the millage and the money that's being collected to quote unquote give teacher raises, the educators are paying that too. So we have to be very careful, which is why I bring up Aaron with Fox 13 and any other news agency that is reporting on education, that we are very intentional with our reporting and the things that we say, because that headline is disingenuous. Disingenuous. What I would like to see is if there was a couple of educators that broke down the numbers to say that with the supplemental increase, this is how much extra they would get a month. That would be good reporting. Like the comment where he's like, I'm going to get, you know, roughly, you know, $7 and 30 some cents extra a month. What is he going to do with that? So we really need to have these tough conversations. And unfortunately, in our government, we have state leaders that are politicizing this whole process, knowing that we are 50th in teacher pay in the state of Florida. And it's not right. And I'm going to continue to use my voice to advocate and fight for our educators and our support professionals, because they need a voice that's not afraid of retaliation, which takes me to the next part of this show. The next part that we're going to talk about is educators' confessionals. So there are different Facebook groups that are out here where educators post anonymously on the things that are going on. And I'm glad that there are spaces for that. There are some things that I saw that I want to highlight, because I'm going back to the fact that, one, educators, we need to make sure that we're reading our teacher's contract so that you can be empowered to know what is your responsibility and what is not your responsibility, so that you can make an informed decision. Some people say, no pay, no way. And that's funny to me. But as someone who's been in the classroom and who has taken more duties than I should have, I am warning every educator and support professional out there to make sure that you are very well aware of your contract and what is required and what is not. So this is the first confessional. So this was published on August the 5th, okay? And it says, can a school have a specific dress code? Apparently, this school has a handbook that says that they cannot wear jeans. And if they wear jeans any other day besides Friday, they will be marked on their evaluation on professionalism. Teachers already have a hard time. They have a hard time. And then we have schools that create their own rules and policies that are not in alignment. The answer to this is no. A school cannot have their own dress code and mark you against it. The union fought really, really hard for this. And you can wear jeans every day if you want to. And there was a conversation about professionalism in jeans. And that really was interesting to me, because I have seen professionals wear jeans. And so there's a lot of programming that needs to be looked into with that, on what is professional and not professional, and taking your bias out of it. But I wanted to highlight this particular confessional, because there is a trend where different schools are doing different things. And if a person is not conforming to what the school is trying to do, then they are deemed a problem and they will be marked as such on their evaluation. And that is retaliatory in nature. The next confessional, it says that the administrator says that they can't take their third grade students to recess because of low reading scores. And I sat there and was like, interesting that this administrator is not trying to follow Florida law and Florida statute that require students to get 20 minutes every day. So I'm posting these confessionals because I'm opening my inbox back, because it's time to snitch on these administrators and these district leaders that are creating these rules and obstacles when it's already hard enough. It is already hard enough. And I haven't had experience of being in the classroom when COVID has hit. But I know that the conditions got worse after that. So I can't speak from that experience, but I do have people that I love that are in the classroom that tell me their experience and tell me how harmful it is to be in a school climate and culture where you have the principal and the assistant principals that want to make up rules as they go. And that's a problem. And it is time that we hold these folks accountable, that we have these conversations, and that we are understanding that the education system is already hard enough. And we're already seeing the things that are happening with federal funds. We're seeing the things that are happening with budget. Again, Florida is 50th in teacher pay. We don't need to make this harder. We don't. So I'm advocating that we snitch. And if you don't want to snitch and say nothing, like I said, send me the receipt and I'll say it. Slide in my inbox, email me, send me the receipt. And I have no problem snitching because enough is enough. I am absolutely tired of seeing our educators, one, not being paid properly, two, being treated like crap, and then three, have all of this selective rules that is not for the benefit of the children. The children. And I'm wondering if anyone else is dealing with some of these obstacles that I'm highlighting in these educational confessionals. And wondering if you want to submit one too. My inbox is open for you, okay? The next one. This was a comment that I want to read verbatim. And this was published on the 4th of August. This confessional said, "I believe it's time the school district takes a serious look into the claims and reports submitted by employees regarding their administration. Lately, it has been a shit show in HCPS. We are seeing retaliation from principals towards staff who speak up, administrators being suspended for failing to fulfill their responsibilities, and a toxic environment where teachers and support staff feel targeted by simply exercising their rights and contacting the union. At this point, one has to wonder who's generating more negative headlines, school administrators who are getting suspended, fired, or arrested, or the employee who is seeking the district for support. The district must do better. Leadership should foster a culture of accountability, transparency, and support, not fear or dysfunction." For those of you that know my story, I shared the conditions of what I experienced, and I was retaliated against. And not just by the school district. The Hillsborough branch of the NAACP requested my personnel file, and my personnel file that had my driver's license, my I-9, my social security card. Thankfully, some of the details in that were redacted. But because an officer of the Hillsborough NAACP requested my records and the district gave it to them, that information was published on a fake Facebook page that is still active today, folks. The page is still active today, talking about people and talking about things that are happening in Tampa. when I tell you retaliation is real, and I can understand this comment. And I just want to highlight that for those educators that are out there that want a voice, that want to hold people accountable, the time is now. And Teaching for the Culture is here. We are back. There was a lot of fights that we had to do to protect our intellectual property, which I can't wait to update y'all more about that process and that journey. But for today, right now, I just want to uplift our educators and our support staff that are working every single day to protect our children and to educate our children. I thank you. I thank you for your service. I thank you for all that you do. And enough is enough. Enough is enough. I am so sorry to those educators that have to post anonymously because they know that if they disclose their name, that someone is going to take a screenshot and tell on them and make it seem like they are trying to ruffle the feathers or to change the culture when they're literally reporting on what's happening and what's not right. And that's a shame. That's a shame. So I'm going to end you with this conversation about Roblox and what I saw on TikTok. And if you haven't seen my Power Walk videos, they're exclusively on Facebook. But you can also listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. So Roblox is a mechanism, an app, a website, a gaming platform. According to the website, Roblox says that it is an ultimate virtual universe that allows you to create, share experiences with friends, and be anything you can imagine. The video that I'm going to share with you has some really, really colorful language and explicit content. So viewer discretion is advised. But I want to share this video with you because I just want to talk about it briefly. And with the work that we are doing here at Teaching for the Culture and with Check the Cell Phone, all of this is important because we need to protect our children offline and online. Here's the clip.
Let me put y'all right here because I got a lot to fucking say. I don't know who the fuck created Roblox, but you need your ass beat and your ass needs to be locked the fuck up and the app needs to be completely gone away from the app store. Cannot download it fucking anywhere because let me tell y'all something. Do y'all not have some type of fucking policy or some type of security or something for motherfuckers to fucking go through to play on this fucking game? Why the fuck? I'm sitting here laying next to my son, editing on my phone, and he's spelling out. He's like, Mom, what does this say? I say, okay, spell it out. He's spelling it out. I'm not understanding what he's spelling. So I look over to see what the fuck he's talking about. Why the fuck I look over to my son's screen and I see this shit? That is a motherfucking naked ass character climbing onto the bed with the words at the top saying, take your clothes off. Then I caught another video. A naked character on top of another character spelling out a moan talking about some Now mind you, before I recorded the second video, the motherfucker was bouncing up and down on his character. Look, if y'all get in my motherfucking comments and y'all go against anything that I'm saying, or you don't agree with the way that I'm acting or agreeing with what I'm saying, you're a fucking problem. Because in this household, I do not subject and expose my child to adult conversations or adult things. Period, point blank. Bottom fucking line. This shit is fucking disgusting. Then I said, let me go through this fucking app. Mind you, my son can't fucking read, okay? I'm going through the app. You get to the motherfucking chat. It's a motherfucker in here who's 23 years old, calling 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds hot based off of a motherfucking character. Let me just fucking read. The 23-year-old says, I may be poor, but in person, I look so hot. This girl, her name's Lee. I ain't gonna even call out the fucking, but she says, but I'm 12. He says, to be honest, I'm 13, JK, I'm 23, but don't tell anyone. The 23-year-old says, no, I'm sorry. The 12-year-old says, I'm 12, but what would you do if I would have been 10? The 23-year-old goes, I would still date with you. The 12-year-old goes, but are you for real? 13. He goes, yeah, JK, of course, I'm 23. She says, oh, you scared me. He says, so what's wrong the age? What's wrong with the age I'm at? It's about the beauty in you. Roblox, get it the fuck together. Please get it the fuck together. This is fucking sick. I'm fucking mind blown. And I'm coming from a place of being a parent who is scared of shit like this. Even though I have all boys, it can happen to boys and girls. But this shit right here, I'm fucking disgusted. I'm honestly fucking disgusted. And I just can't. So if you're a parent like me and you care about your fucking kids and you care about what the fuck they're being exposed to and you care about them being around and seeing other fucking kids and just all of that fucking shit, take the shit off of your son or daughter's laptop, computer, iPad, tablet, phone. Take it away from their screens. Period, point blank. I'm fucking disgusted. And I cannot wait until his dad wakes up and I tell him this shit. My son is not in trouble. But now I have to explain to him that there are inappropriate things on this app that you're playing on and you can no longer play on it. That's my fucking two cents. Roblox, get it the fuck together.
I was sharing in the comments for those that might not see it. I had an opportunity to do some research about Roblox, and there were screenshots of different spaces that children can go into. And they had created a space in the likeness of Diddy, particularly around the time that he was dealing with his trial and he was being talked about. They had spaces in there in Roblox for people to go and interact. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going on a mission and an investigation of Roblox, of me creating an account, being a 13-year-old, and seeing the type of conversation and the communication and the things that a 13-year-old would have access to, and documenting that experience and having you go along on this journey with me, because it's very, very important. I want to uplift that in this vital time that we need to be very mindful of what our children have access to. And with the different regulations that are out here for cell phone use and social media, before school starts, in some cases, for our children, we need to have a conversation about what these policies are and what the expectations are as a family regarding these devices and how we are going to communicate. Okay? So I'm really excited to see the evolution of this program and the fact that it has been 529 days since my last episode, and all of the obstacles that I have personally gone through and the organization has gone through to be where we are today. I just want to say I'm thankful and grateful for you for being here, and for the Replay Ministry for being here, and the folks that will continue to show up as we continue to show up, as so much transition has occurred and so much litigation has occurred. But I'm glad that Teaching for the culture still stands. The power of the ING is here. And we are going to continue to enforce our federal registered trademark. And not just one trademark, two trademarks. And I'm grateful that we've been able to get past that obstacle. And we're going to continue to do the work that needs to be done. So with that being said, I hope that you have an amazing day. I can't wait to see y'all next week. And for those of you that are in Patreon, I thank you. You can add stuff to the docket. We need more educational content. We need more educators to come forward with their confessionals. We need more records to be secured. So there are a couple of things that I'm investigating with the district. The district in Hillsborough County actually emailed me today as it relates to one of my records requests. And for those of you that are in Patreon, that are Equalizer, you get first access to that. So it feels good being back, and I'm really, really excited about the fight. And we have so much to do because our children deserve better. So with that being said, I hope that y'all do well, be well. Peace.